the morning. Today I will be reading March 1, 17. Will come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people.
Thank you, Jeremiah. Appreciate you reading the word to us this morning. And your prayer this morning was awesome, too. And Jaden, good job. If you'd like to stand, please do so now. Lift our voices and hearts to the Lord in praise. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise.
Yeah. Thank you. Good morning. As Mother's Day and Father's Day are in the rearview mirror for 2021, I want to offer you all a proposition. Have you ever noticed that we have a day for almost every occasion involving humans and their interactions? Valentine's Day and Anniversary Day, birthdays, Mother's Day and Father's Day, and Grandparents' Day. Where in this mix, however, would we consider children? As Joel has mentioned several times, children bring an exuberant joy and enthusiasm to the church. Considering their enthusiasm and seemingly never-ending sense of energy, why do so many churches and authoritative figures silence such disruptions on a Sunday morning service? Some may consider the noise inappropriate for such a significant event of church, and others may want to discipline their children to be good listeners and foster attentiveness. Nevertheless, I want to reference a few comments Jesus made with regards to children and their exuberance. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus responds to the disciples' petty argument regarding whom would be the greatest in the kingdom of God. The disciples had become so preoccupied with the organizations of Jesus' earthly kingdom that they lost sight of its divine purpose. Instead of seeking a place of service, as kids are seemingly readily and able to serve, they sought a position of advantage. Admittedly, it is easy for us to lose our eternal perspective and compete for status. Following this argument, however, Jesus references the childlike, not childish, faith of children. One chapter later, Jesus further expands on developing a much healthier, eternal perspective through the lens of a child. As the parents in the local town began to bring their children to Jesus, the disciples scolded the children for bringing their burdensome children to Jesus. Jesus, however, exemplified an attitude of hospitality for such children. Matthew chapter 19, verse 14 says, "But Jesus said to them, 'Let the children come to me. Do not stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children.'" Why would Jesus welcome such seemingly foolish and uneducated children into his presence? I prescribe one word for this instance: receptiveness. The receptiveness of the little children was a great contrast to the stubbornness of the religious leaders, who let their education and religious literacy stand in the way of a simple or childlike faith. Nonetheless, Jesus used the instance of children to prove a point I believe is necessitated in communion. We are not to be childish, such as the disciples arguing over petty issues, or the least of these as unworthy to participate in the gospel and the good news. Rather, we are to come before these emblems with sincere hearts, pierced with utmost humility. As a child looks to his or her parents for protection, comfort, and care, let us hold such an attitude of dependence and humility within our hearts during this time. Let us come during this time with a childlike faith, realizing we have nothing to offer, but an admittance that we, in fact, have nothing to bring to the table apart from the Father. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to come here, to gather in your name and freely speak. We ask during this time, through the intercession of your Spirit, that you would give us receptiveness, to hold a childlike faith, and to realize that we have nothing to offer except an admittance that we are in ever need of you. And it's in your Son's precious name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Well, this week, like all of you, I was under the assumption that we were going to go fishing tonight and have a good time at the pond, but like I said, that got delayed a couple weeks. So I prepared a sermon about one of my favorite topics, fishing. When I was a little boy, growing up, my favorite time of the summer was when my dad was a school teacher, and he got his summers off. And I love summertime because that was fishing time. It was the one time during the week, and in the summertime it was a lot because my dad liked to fish a lot. We used to always tease my dad that the only reason he became a teacher was so he could fish in the summertime. But I loved fishing with my dad because so many things happened on the lake, on the pond, on the river, the canal, wherever we were fishing. It was my time to be alone with my dad. My little brother, he didn't care for fishing, and that was fine with me because I got dad all to myself. I got all of his attention. I learned so much from fishing with dad, sitting next to the river, sitting up next to the lake, or sitting on the boat. We talked about all different kinds of stuff. We talked about church stuff. We talked about school stuff. We talked about sports stuff. You name it, my dad and I talked about it. And he taught me everything that he knows about fishing. And I just love that time with him. And as an adult, I was able to take both of my sons fishing. I enjoy immensely taking my boys fishing and spending one-on-one time with them. It's just time that we get to be together by ourselves. So this morning, I looked up some scripture about fishing, and obviously one is just going to stand right out to many of you, and Jesus is doing his ministry, and he's calling his first disciples and going forth. But Luke chapter 5, if you read just the first 10 verses of Luke chapter 5, it's where Jesus is literally calling his first disciples to come follow him. And you probably remember in Sunday school classes or so forth what these men were doing when Jesus called them. So Luke chapter 5. Starting in verse 1, I'm going to read it, but pay attention to what these guys are doing. Pay attention to their reaction to Jesus and what Jesus asked them to do. And then we're going to talk about it for just a little bit here this morning. Luke chapter 5, I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, "One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen, who were washing their nets at the time. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a big catch.' Simon answered, 'Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets.' When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, 'Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man.' For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men.'" I just love how Jesus called his first disciples. I can relate to them. I like fishing. I know about fishing. I know these guys' hearts. I know their mentality. Don't forget, though, these guys being fishermen, these were young Jewish men who, it was all Jewish boys' dream to become rabbis. I mean, it was their dream to be picked to go to rabbi school, to do well in school, and to be able to teach people in their community about God. Because they were fishermen, these were the dropouts. These were the guys that were not picked to be rabbis. So they recognized Jesus as a rabbi, and they respected him. And these guys were, you know, if you're blue-collar fishermen, kind of in the community, maybe look down a little bit. In the Jewish church, you know, these are the guys that probably, they didn't pay attention in Jewish school, they didn't take things seriously, and because of that, they're fishermen, and some of them are poor, they have to work hard, and whatever the case may be, and these guys are getting Jesus' attention. there was something about these guys that Jesus, the greatest rabbi of all times, comes up to them and starts speaking, uses their boats to speak to the people, and then has an astounding thing for them to do. Go out and catch some fish. And Peter's like, well, we've fished all night. These guys are exhausted. They were cleaning their nets, probably bummed out, very frustrated that they had caught fish all night. But because Jesus, this smart rabbi, comes along, okay, we're going to do what you say. So question this morning, if you're following along in your outline, I got two questions this morning. How did Peter catch the fish? He spent all night long with his crew and didn't catch a thing. Here Jesus comes along, and now I recognize this is a miraculous event that appears. But we need to ask ourselves first, before we get to the second question, how did Peter catch the fish? Well, if you pay attention in verses 4 and 5 in our text, Peter went. He did a couple things. First, he went where he was told. He went exactly where Jesus, he didn't sit there and argue with Jesus. Jesus said, hey, let's cast out. Okay, I'm done preaching. I'm done talking. You know, Jesus was sitting in the boat there at shore and talking to the people, and he was done, and he said, okay, now I want you to take me out farther. Let's go out farther into the deep water, and let's cast your net out there. And, you know, Peter's reaction was, Lord, you know, we've toiled all night, and we've caught nothing. That's really the only argument you get out of Peter. But he went out anyway. Tired, frustrated. Probably, I would be, and knowing Peter and his personality, thinking, you know, I'm the professional here. I mean, you may be the professional rabbi. I'm the professional fisherman. I just spent a whole night. I know what I'm doing. But he went out anyway. Which makes me ask myself, why don't we as Christians, even though we have worked all day, sometimes we get frustrated. I know what it's like being out in the world. We get frustrated with people, we get frustrated with work, we get frustrated with families, our schedules don't go the way we want them to go, and life just doesn't happen the way we want life to happen. Why don't we as Christians, even though that we have worked all day, we're tired, we're frustrated, why don't we just go anyway? To hear the voice of God calling and to go where he calls us to go. It amazes me how many Christian people hear a call to serve somebody. And a lot of times the answer is, well, you're going to have to wait. I've got this, or I've got that, or I've got a game, or I've got this, you know, whatever the case may be. These guys dropped what they were doing, cleaning nets, dropped what they were doing, frustrated all day long, and they went anyway. What did they have to lose? Sometimes Jesus is going to call you. He's going to call me on days where we just don't feel like serving. We just don't feel like being the whatever he's called us to be. But God's telling us, go anyway. He's got some big things in store for you. Go anyway. If you're tired, go. If you're hungry, go. If you're thirsty, go. If you think you're lacking wisdom, go. Jesus is calling you for a reason. Why don't we put our own selves aside sometimes? We get so full of what we want to get accomplished, what we want to do, what makes us feel comfortable, what makes us feel fulfilled as a person, as a husband, as a wife, as a child, as a Christian. We think we do certain things that are going to fulfill us. Man, God's got a plan for you, not just a life plan. He's got a daily plan for you of what he wants you to accomplish for him. And instead of putting away our own selfishness aside, we just like to say, no, I got to stick to the plan. Stick to my plan. Stick to my schedule. You know, plans are going to change. If you're serving Jesus, plans are going to change. It's kind of a family joke in my family. It seems like every time there's a death in the church or in the family or in the community, I get called to be with the family. A lot of times it happens on holiday weekends or when my family's got big plans or stuff. One time, many, many years ago, just jokingly, I told Mary, I said, why can't people just die when it's convenient for me? You know, but we are like that sometimes as Christians. Why can't I just serve when it's convenient for me? You know, well, it's convenient for God at that point. Somebody needs loved. Somebody needs ministered to. And God's calling us to bear fruit, to bear much fruit. These guys didn't have, these were not perfect men by any means. I think they saw a rabbi and respected him. There was obviously something about Jesus' spirit that drew men to him. These guys dropped what they did, were doing. They probably listened to him at the shore, were impressed with his words that he spoke from the shore, and they went. They put aside whatever they were going to do that night, and they went. Why don't we put someone else first for a change sometimes? All the time. It's easy to sit back and say, well, you know, I do. I serve. I do this. I do that. Yeah, but sometimes we say, I'm too tired. We say, I don't feel like doing that right now. Or it can wait till tomorrow. How many times have we said, oh, I'm going to send that card. Or I'm going to go visit that person. Or I'm going to do this. Or I'm going to do it. But I'll do it tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes. Well, I'll have to do it next week. And next week comes. You know the story. You know how it goes. It'd be awesome if we would just put someone else first for a change. And may it start with Jesus. To put Jesus first in our daily living. What a great message from Luke here. In this story of the calling of the first disciples. They put Jesus, at that moment, they didn't do a lot of things right. Before Jesus and even after Jesus, they messed things up sometimes. But boy, did they get this one right. And I think there's a reason why God's put it here in his word. For us to hear, when we hear the voice of Jesus call, don't hesitate. That's why Peter caught fish. He went where he was told. And the second thing he did is he did what Jesus told him to. Not only did he go, he did exactly what Jesus told him to. It's not good enough for us to just go where Jesus told us to go. I mean, Jesus says, go out into the world, go into the community, go to your workplaces, go to your families. And then he doesn't just say, and then do what you want to do. He's got specific instruction. He has a specific purpose for you. He has specific reasons. He's sending you to the places he's sending. And if we don't do what he's told us to do, what good are we? These guys did exactly what Jesus told them to. Peter told Jesus that at his word, they would drop the net. And they did. You know, here Peter is, like I said, he's the professional fisherman. And here comes a rabbi telling him how to fish. But he went where Jesus told him to go. Where did Jesus tell him to go? Go out to the deep. Get away from the shore. Let's go where it's deep. And then I want you to cast your net. And he did exactly what Jesus told him to do. And what happened? They caught so many fish that they had to call for another boat to come help. Can you imagine that? Catching so many fish. Don't forget, this was their life. This was their income. This was their way of life. They did what this rabbi Jesus told them to do. And they are getting so much fish, they have to call their partner boat in for help. Imagine the excitement and joy in Peter's heart at this point. They caught so many fish that the nets were starting to break. They caught so many fish that once they got them into the boats started to sink. I've never had that happen before. My dad and I have caught a lot of fish on some fishing trips. And we've never had the boat almost sink because of the fish. Do you know how many pounds of fish that takes to fill a boat and to make it start sinking? Jesus never does things little. He always does things big to get your attention. Because Peter went where Jesus told him to go, because Peter did exactly what Jesus told him to do, boy, was there blessing. And there's a reason behind all what Jesus is asking them to do here. I think he wanted to know if they were going to listen. I think he wanted them to know, he wanted to know if he had their attention. Boy, I bet that got their attention real quick. And we see that in Scripture. It got their attention real quick. There is something that we need to keep in mind during this whole story, and something I've learned as a fisherman. All fish can't be caught from the shore. Now, I like to fish from the shore a lot of times. A lot of times when the bluegills are spawning or different, it's fun to cast your pole out on the shore. You can catch bluegill after bluegill after bluegill because they're just eating and they're spawning there, and it's fun. But let me tell you, you're not going to catch all fish right from the shore. There's days you're fishing from the shore and you catch nothing. You can catch a few fish from the shore, but man, when you go out into the deep water, you can really find a multitude of fish. That's where the fish are. If you've ever been crappie fishing, man, crappie fishing, you don't catch crappies from the shore. You go out into the deep, and you troll for them. And man, you can catch crappie after crappie after crappie out in the deep that you would never catch at shore. If you've ever been to the piers at Lake Erie or on an ocean or something, you see guys fishing. And you see them catch a few, and maybe they fill up a little bucket or water, whatever. But if you watch the guys that go way out into Lake Erie or way out into the ocean, man, that's where the fish are. That's where they are catching them by the 10s, 20s, 30s, and are really filling their limit and stuff. Commercial fishermen that are fishing anything out in the ocean or the seas, they're not fishing close to shore. They are fishing way out in the deep, and there is a reason for that. And there is a reason why Jesus is telling these guys, I want you to go out into the deep. These guys may be pulling their nets to catch the fish, and they can catch a lot more fish, though, out in the deep. That's what Peter's learning here. And he knew as a professional. I mean, Jesus probably isn't, as a fisherman, teaching him anything new. But what a reminder for us. There is a difference than fishing, and when we're going to relate it here to fishing for people. If we liken the shore to the church, pretend like the shore is the church, and the deep water is the community of people that we live with and that we are surrounded by. Now let's pretend those that we are fishing for people. If the church is the shore and the community is the deep water, you can catch a few people on the shore at church. There may be a few people that trickle in, and you may snag them and introduce them to Jesus and share his love. But a lot of these people don't come anymore just on their own accord to walk into a church building for no reason. It happens sometimes, and we are very thankful for that many times. But you have to go where the people are. They don't, like I said, they don't come trickle in. You, the fishermen, the fisherwomen who have been called by God to bear fruit, to go and be fishers of men, you have the bait to go get them, like the boats with the nets out in the deep water. You have to take the initiative to go where the people are. That's what Jesus is teaching these guys, and that's what he's teaching us today. You can't just sit close to shore, close to home, sitting in the pews, and expecting these people just keep coming. The people are out there. They're where you work. They're where you live. They're where you have fun. They're where you live life. They're out there. And boy, were we going to catch more people for the kingdom of God out in deep water, being the community. Many of you have children, grandchildren, nieces and nephews that are involved in activities. That's one of my greatest assets as a dad, is my children being involved in community events, in sporting events, and band events, and choir events, I mean, all kinds of stuff. And it seems like you always sit next to the same parents at every ball game we go to. It seems like you're surrounded by the same parents all the time. You get to know those people. That's casting your net. That's getting to know the people out there, going to the deep water. Use those opportunities wherever you are, wherever you find yourself, with the same people over and over. God's put those people in your path for a reason. I bet you know if they go to church or not, by the way they talk, by what they do, by your conversations. Even if you haven't asked them if they go, I bet you can tell if they go to church or not. And you know, I bet with a little bit of bait, you could get them to come to church with you. Sometimes it doesn't take much. And not just for the sake of coming to church, but to have them have the opportunity to meet the Jesus that you know, to meet the Jesus who had loved you enough to offer you grace, offer you love, offer you forgiveness each and every day. You have the perfect bait if you will only use it. And it's very easy to say, okay, Joel, what's the bait? Let me tell you. The bait that God has given you to go catch men and to go catch women for the kingdom of God is your testimony of what Jesus Christ has done for you. When you're sitting there talking to whoever it is you're talking. May the name of Jesus come out of your conversation. What did Jesus do in your life this week? There's a reason why at Sunday school we share what God has blessed each and every person with during the week. What did God do for you this week? I make people verbally express that. There's a reason to practice that. To pay attention every week. What has God done for you this week? But that's going to be attractive to people out there. When they hear what God, where God has taken you, wherever you were in the lowest point of your life, full of guilt, full of hurt, full of pain, and he took you out of that, brushed you off, forgave you, gave you a new life, a new opportunity, and allows you to walk with him and talk with him and work with him and for him, that's going to be attractive to people. They're going to want that. It's called hope. We live in a world that doesn't offer a lot of hope. We live in a world that offers no absolute truth. Jesus comes along and says, oh, there is absolute truth. It's not just whatever you think is truth or whatever is truth to you. I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. Everything I speak, everything I am is absolute truth. You can count on it. Jesus says, I'm going to destroy the temple, and in 3 days I'm going to build it up again. People didn't understand what he was talking about. It happened. He allowed this physical body to die in 3 days. He rose it up again. He rebuilt it. And it is alive and well today, sitting at the right hand of God. He promised, I will offer forgiveness. I will offer mercy. I will offer grace to anyone who calls on my name and acknowledges me as Lord. There is eternal life for you. That is truth. You speak truth when you go out there. That is your bait. To catch people with just your life story. This is what Jesus did to me. I didn't deserve it. There wasn't anything I did for him to love me so much, but he did. And share your life testimony with it. That's going out into the deep water, what Jesus asked these disciples to do. The bait is your testimony. What Jesus Christ is, pay attention all week long this week of all the blessings Jesus has done for you. You think of the sin that you commit on a weekly basis, and that sin is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. You think of your hurt sometimes, and that is comforted by the love of Jesus Christ. Think of all the things that Jesus did for you this week. He gave you the breath of life today. You didn't have to wake up this morning. He gave it to you today. Boy, there's hope in that, and you have a hope of eternal life that you will never see death forever. You will never be completely separated from your Creator forever. Now that is hope. That is a message of joy that people really, really need to hear. So how did Peter catch the fish? He simply went where Jesus told him to go, and he did what Jesus called him to do. So, second question I asked this morning, why is it so hard for the churches to catch people, catch men? Why is it so hard? Why are our churches, especially in America, why are churches not growing more by the hundreds and hundreds of some? Why aren't more people being caught into the kingdom? I think very simply, there's too many in the church that are not willing to go fishing. They put all that job on the preacher and a couple of leaders in the church. That's their job. No, that's not. The bait is your testimony. So there are many reasons why people will not go fishing. Man, you got this beautiful bait. You got this beautiful testimony. Why don't people go fishing for people? And if you identify with one of these that I'm going to mention, what a great day to lift that up to God and admit, hey, that's me. That's me. Change me from the inside out. Use me. Encourage me. Grow me to go. And do what you call me to do. Some people are just plain lazy. Plain and simple. I'm too tired. Man, I hear that excuse all the time. That's the reason why a lot of people don't come to church on Sunday morning. I'm just too tired. I worked too hard this week. Are you kidding me? There are literally lives at stake out there. You have friends, neighbors, family who are not going to stand in the light of God for eternity because you're too tired or I'm too tired to go be who God's called us to be. I hope none of us have to stand before God someday and say, I was just too lazy. I was just too tired. I was just full of myself this week. I'm sorry. There's a lot of times I'm sorry doesn't cut it. If somebody's going to die for eternity, I'm sorry doesn't cut it. Some don't think it's their job, no matter what the Great Commission says. Some just think it's not my job. That's the preacher's job. That's the elder's job. That's the Sunday school teacher's job. That's so-and-so's job. That's mom's job. That's dad's job. Whoever. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, it's your job. Jesus was talking to all his followers when he ascended it, before he ascended into heaven, and said, go. Go and make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. That was serious. That's his final instruction. That was to you, and that was to me. And we as human beings, we don't get it sometimes. Even the disciples. Jesus said that. He ascended into heaven. And what were the disciples doing after that? They just looked up in the sky. Like, is he coming back? What should we do? You know, we got the message here, plain and white. And we don't know what to do sometimes. It took an angel to come and bound from heaven and say, okay, guys, go do what he told you to do. This is Luke here telling us, okay, guys, go do what he's called you to do. Go into the waters, go to the deep waters, and preach the gospel. Teach them. There are those who are going to die forever without your message of hope. Don't think it's somebody else's job. I don't have the ability to meet and influence everybody that you guys meet and influence. Some of you have testimonies I will never have. You can relate to people I will never be able to relate to. That is a gift from God to you to use, to lure people into the loving kindness and grace of Jesus Christ, to give them the opportunity to have the hope that you have in Jesus Christ. And then there's some that are truly just not able to go out, but they could use the phone, or they could send a card of encouragement and invite someone to church. We do have some wonderful people. And there's people, it amazes me, the people in the church that do have legitimate excuses. They can't physically get out into the deep water, but boy, do they find ways to get out there. They send beautiful cards, loving cards of encouragement to not just people in our church, but people in the community. We have people that send cards to school teachers, to principals, to village administrators, to all different kinds of people, to reach out just to share love with people. They make phone calls. They do texts. We live in a day of today. You can communicate anywhere in the world very easily right now. There's been no greater time in world history to be able to cast your net into deep water. Don't ever use the excuse, God can't use me because I can't get out there. Yeah, you can. It starts with prayer. And then allowing God to let you, hey, so-and-so could use a loving card today. So-and-so could use a loving phone call today. I love when God does that. You guys have received cards. Some of you have received cards at just the right time. Some of you have received phone calls and texts at just the right time. I'll be sitting at my office sometimes, and I'll get a text from somebody, and I'm like, man, how did they know I needed to hear that today? They didn't. God did. Don't ever use the excuse, I can't get out. And do. If you are here on planet Earth, you're here for a reason. It's to grow the kingdom so you can enjoy people, and people can enjoy God for all eternity. And some may just be trapped, like Peter. He was trapped in a faithless mindset in the presence of Christ. And he was oppressed with guilt and shame. If you look at verse 8 and 9, when Peter saw what Jesus did, what did he do? He fell at Jesus' knees. And he said, I'm a sinner. Go away. I'm a sinner. He was so full of shame. You got to get rid of that mindset. that you're not worth God using. You look at all the men and women in the Old Testament, none of them were worth God using. Many of them were adulterers. Some of them were prostitutes. Many of them were murderers. Some of them were so full of themselves, arrogant. Samson, he was a spoiled brat. God used these guys. They used these women. And he wants to use you. Don't ever get into the mindset that I'm not good enough for God. Get rid of that faithlessness that God can't use me. Peter, his first reaction is, I can't be used. Go away, Jesus. I'm a sinner. No. Man, we should be saying, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, and use me. Use a sinner like me to do your will, to do your bidding. Some may have a wrong perception of their own personal value to God. I think that happens a lot. And that's why people are not allowing themselves to be used in the kingdom. I say it many times. I'll say it Sunday after Sunday. You are valuable in the eyes of God. You were a private thought in the mind of God, and he created you on purpose. He loved you and loves you so much. He died for you, was tortured for you, ridiculed for you, took the blame for you of your guilt and sin. If that doesn't tell you you have value to him, I don't know what else to tell you. You are valued above the angels themselves. And the angels are not inheriting the kingdom of God. You are. And to ever say that I am not of value or worth for God to use is wrong. Folks, Jesus can use a broken life. I don't care where you've come from in life, how far you've strayed from God, no matter how much you've been hurt or done the hurting, God can use a broken life. Just look at verse 10 of our text. What does Jesus say to Peter? So Peter's, he's like, go away. You don't know the guilt I'm in. You don't know how low of a person I am. I am a sinner. I am full of sin. And what does Jesus say? Don't be afraid. Can you imagine Peter hearing the voice of God himself say, don't be afraid? Folks, I don't care. I don't know what God's called each and every one of you to do and be on a regular basis. But when he calls you to go and he calls you to do, hear the voice of God say, don't be afraid. I've covered your guilt. I've covered your sin. I'm going to give you the tools. I will speak through you when you need to speak. I will shut your mouth when I need you to listen. But don't be afraid. Because what did he tell us in the Great Commission? Lo, I will be with you always. Always. Till the very end of time. In closing this morning, I just want to remind you that Jesus himself has a word for everybody here through this scripture. I understand this is a story about Peter. Luke wrote it. But boy, does Jesus have a message. And that one word for today is launch. If you don't remember anything, remember the word launch. Write it down, whatever. Launch out into the strength of Christ this week. We're using the boat analogy here, launch. Launch out into the strength of Christ. Launch out into the deep, relying on God. Write that one down if you want. Yeah, God's going to put you in the deep end. Do it relying on him, that he knows what he's doing. And he'll hold you up with his mighty right hand. Launch into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ today. Make it a point today for the rest of the week. If you've been walking with God for 50 years, launch into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ today. Launch into a deeper faith commitment with Jesus Christ. I mean, challenge your faith with him. Say, God, I'm going to go in the deep waters that you call me to. I've trusted you for a lot of things in my life, but I'm going to make a commitment today to go farther, deeper in my faith and go places I've never gone before because I wasn't comfortable and do and say things I've been called to say, but I wasn't comfortable. launch that boat today into a deeper faith commitment to Jesus Christ and launch into a deeper maturity faith, a deeper faith maturity. Every week you should be growing more mature in your relationship with Jesus Christ. You should be feeding on the Word of God daily. Man, launch that boat today if you haven't for a while. And it's very easy to sit back and say, well, how can I do all these things, Preacher Joel? This isn't Joel just saying that. Let's take a look at what the Bible says about what I just told you. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. You want to know how to do those things? You want to know how to launch yourself into a deeper relationship with Jesus? You want to know how to launch yourself into the deep water and really get involved in kingdom work and bearing fruit and catching people for the kingdom of God? Throw off everything that hinders you from obeying the Word of God and run with perseverance the direction Jesus would have you go. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, I want to tell you, you can launch into the best relationship you will ever launch yourself into today. It is the saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And many of you have dove deep into that relationship, and I just want to encourage you. But for those of you that don't know, man, He can come into your heart if you will only ask Him to. If you believe that He was born, if you believe that He lived and He died on Calvary for you, He will come in, He will forgive you of your sins, and He will save you from an eternity in hell, which is complete separation from God, your Creator. Folks, let's get our hearts right. That's the call this week. Let's get our hearts right. Get our bait together. What I tell you was the bait? Your life testimony. Gather up your bait. And let's dive into the deep together and go fishing for the rest of our lives. Man, let's start with this week. See where God sends you and the waters that He puts you in this week. Let's pray about that before we sing. Father God, what a message You've given us just in the life of Simon Peter here and the other disciples that You called. What a reminder, Father, that You have called each and every one of us into Your loving service. Father, it is not our call to sit and be comfortable just to worship on Sunday mornings. Father, that is a blessing given to us by You. But Father, You have called us to do so much more. You've called us to be so much greater in Your kingdom. Father, launch us this week into the deep water. Launch us into where the people are. Launch Your word wherever we are, Father, this morning. May the name of Jesus be spoken. Father, we recognize there is power in the name of Jesus. May every conversation we have be flavored with the words of Jesus, that people will hear Your love. They will hear Your hope. And most importantly, Father, they will hear Your truth, Your absolute truth. So, Father, send us with courage. Send us with joy. Send us with hope. And send us with love this week. Lord, to You be all the glory, honor, and power forever. Amen. If you need to make a decision for Jesus Christ this morning, we invite you to do that today. If you want to make a commitment to Him today to go and launch yourself where He's called you to be launched, man, we invite you to, if you need to come forward this morning, I'll pray with you. If you just need to stand in your pew before your Heavenly Father and say, send me, Lord, send me. Allow me to be obedient. Bear fruit through me. May Your kingdom grow because of my obedience to You. Let's stand and let's sing together this morning.
My life I love, I give to Thee. The Lamb of God who died for me. Oh, may
decision to make, this is the opportune time to do that. And if just want to make a rededicate a commitment this week, Joel, just what a beautiful message this morning that for all of us to launch ourselves. I like that. I like that term. So if you got a decision to make or to rededicate, just right where you are, let's do that right now.
Died on Calvary to save my soul and make me free. I'll consecrate my life to Thee, my Savior and my God. I'll live for Him who died for me. How happy then my life shall be.